Om सुदेहं महदा महीयसा नमो समारोपितं अंकं आदरा जिहासति दक्ष वृषा मनस्विनी ददार गाथेषु अनिराग्नितारणा एहं सदेहं महदां महीयसां मुहु समारोपितं अंकं आदरात् जिहासति चक्षुषा मनस्विनी ददार्गादेषु निराग्नितारणाम्
एवं
दास
स्वदेहं her own body,
Mahatam,
of
great saints,
Mahiyasa,
most worshipful,
Muhu, again and again,
Samaropitam,
seated, Ankam, on the lap,
Adarat,
respectfully,
Vihasati,
wishing to give up, Daksharusha, Due to anger towards Daksha,
Manaskini,
voluntarily,
Dadara,
place,
Gatreshu,
on the limbs of the body,
Anila Agni Dharanam,
Meditation on the fire and air. Translation, thus in order to give up her body which had been so respectfully and affectionately seated in the lap of Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by great sages and saints, Sati, due to anger towards her father, began to meditate on the fiery air within the body. Therefore, Lord Shiva is described herein as the great, best of all great souls. Although Sati's body was born of Daksha, Lord Shiva used to adore her by sitting her on his lap. This is considered a great token of respect. Thus, Sati's body was not ordinary, but still she decided to give it up because it was a source of unhappiness because of its connection with Daksha. The severe example set by Sati is to be followed. One should be extremely careful about associating with persons who are not respectful to the higher authorities. It is instructed, therefore, in the Vedic literature that one should always be free from the association of atheists and non-devotees and should try to associate with devotees, for by the association of a devotee, one can be elevated to the platform of self-realization. This injunction is stressed in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one wants to be liberated from the clutches of material existence, then one has to associate with great souls. And if one wants to continue one's material existence, then one may associate with persons who are materialistic. The materialistic way of life is based on sex life. Thus, both becoming addicted to sex life and associating with persons who are addicted to sex life are condemned in the Vedic literature because such association will simply interfere with one's spiritual progress. However, association with great personalities, devotees who are great souls, will elevate one to the spiritual platform. Sati Devi decided to quit the body she had obtained from Daksha's body, and she wanted to transfer herself to another body so that she might have complete the uncontaminated association with Lord Shiva. Of course, it is understood that in her next life she would take birth as the daughter of the Himalayas, Parvati, and then she would again accept Lord Shiva as her husband. Sati and Lord Shiva are eternally related. And after she changes her body, the relationship is never broken. Next 27, Sati concentrated all her meditation on the holy lotus feet of her husband, Lord Shiva, who is the supreme spiritual master of all the world. Now she became completely cleansed of all taints of sin, quit her body in a blazing fire by meditation on the fiery elements. Her part, Sati at once thought of the lotus feet of her husband, Lord Shiva, who was one of the three great personalities of Godhead in charge of the management of the material world. And simply by meditating on his lotus feet, she derived such great pleasure that she forgot everything in relationship with her body. This pleasure was certainly material because she gave up her body for another body that was also material. But by this example, we can appreciate the devotee's pleasure in concentrating his mind and attention on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. There is such transcendental bliss of simply meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord that one can forget everything but the Lord's transcendental form. This is the perfection of yogic samadhi or ecstasy. In this verse, it is stated that by such meditation, you became free from all contamination. What was that contamination? The contamination was the concept of bodily drive from daksha. But she forgot that body relationship in trance. The prayer part is that when one becomes free from all bodily relationships within this material body and simply places himself in the position of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that all the contamination of his material attachment has been burned by the blazing fires of transcendental ecstasy. It is not necessary for one to manifest the blazing fire externally, for if one forgets all his body relationships within this material world and becomes situated in a spiritual identity, it is said that one has been freed from all material contamination by the blazing fire of yoga, samadhi, or ecstasy. That is the topmost perfection of yoga. If one keeps his bodily relationships within this material world and poses himself as a great yogi, he's not a bona fide yogi. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Yat Kirtanam Yat Smaranam, simply by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of God, is simply by remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, simply by offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of God, that one is immediately freed from material contamination, the material bodily concept, by the blazing fire of ecstasy. This effect takes place immediately without a second delay. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, that Sati quit her body means that she gave up within her heart her relationship with daksha. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also comments that since Sati is the superintendent deity of the external potency, when she quit her body, she did not get a spiritual body but a simple transit from the body she had received from daksha. Other commentaries also say that she immediately transferred herself into the womb of Manaka, her future mother. She gave up the body she had received from daksha and immediately transferred herself to another better body. This does not mean that she got a spiritual body. Translation, thus, in order to give up her body, which had been so respectfully and affectionately seated in the lap of Lord Shiva, who was worshipped by great sages and saints, Sati, due to anger towards the father, began to meditate on the fiery air within the body. Sati concentrated all her meditation on the holy lotus feet of her husband, Lord Shiva, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master of all the world. Thus, she became completely cleansed of all taints of sin and quit her body in the blazing fire by meditation on the fiery elements. Oh, so here's the description of Sati giving up her body. And as we see, she gave up that body and she got another body. How did she do that? Because, as Bhagavad Gita says, as you think, so you become. If you worship the devatas, you go to the devatas. You worship the pitras, you go to the pitras. You worship Krishna, you go to Krishna. So, she worshipped Lord Shiva and she went to Lord Shiva. She attained again the position of being the wife of Lord Shiva. Because of that fixed mind, her mind was fixed on Lord Shiva. So this is a simple principle, but a very important principle, that according to one's concentration, one achieves something. Of course, Sati is in a special position because she is the eternal consort of Shiva anyway. But the example shows that the concentration on a certain form produces results similar. So another example of that on a higher level is that of some of the gopis is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that some gopis could not go to the Ras Lila when Krishna blew his flute. They were locked up in their houses. So they stayed in their houses. And then it says they gave up their bodies. Of course, it's explained that they could not really die because that would be inauspicious to have death associated with the Ras Lila. So the explanation is, of course, that they gave up their material body and attained a spiritual body, which looked exactly the same. Why? Because when they were in their houses, they meditated on the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And that meditation was very special because it was meditation and separation. And the intensity of that freed them from the last contamination. So why were the gopis contaminated? These gopis were not the Nityasiddha gopis. These were sadhakas at the last stage of sadhana. So sadhana means that they had some slight contamination. But because of their exalted nature, they were allowed to participate in the pastimes to some degree. But by that separation during the Ras Lila, the intensity of their thoughts of Krishna destroyed the last contamination. And therefore, they got spiritual bodies. So, there was no suggestion that they actually died. There was no apparent difference because they looked the same. But actually, their bodies were completely spiritual at that point. So that is an example of meditation on Krishna. And then later on, they attained Krishna. They entered into the Ras Lila also. So their desires were fulfilled. So therefore, concentration on an object leads to attaining that object. So in this case, we see that Sati was thinking of Lord Shiva, and therefore she attained Shiva. And similarly, in the material world, people may concentrate on a certain devata, so then they attain that particular place with the devata, such as Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or wherever. So that applies not only to worship of devatas, but even concentrating on material things. By concentration on material goals, one attains material goals. And if one doesn't concentrate, it's very unlikely you will achieve anything. And if you concentrate on even bad goals, you can attain that also. Therefore, Krishna says one has to control the mind, because the mind leads you in a certain direction. This, of course, is the material mind. However, in sadhana, we utilize the mind also, just as we utilize the senses. It has a propensity for helping you achieve things in this material world. But the mind can be utilized also to help us achieve spiritual goals. So therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, you must control the mind and utilize the mind. And by yoga practice, you control the mind, and then you can attain spiritual goals. So this, of course, is the whole process of yoga, to control the mind and finally stop it from thinking of material things completely. Chittavritti Nirodha, to stop the functions of the material mind. Mind, intelligence, etc. So it is a difficult process to stop all the material functions of the mind, though that is attempted in yoga. So the alternate process is to engage the mind in thinking of the Supreme Lord. Greater and greater attraction to the Supreme Lord, one concentrates more and more on the Supreme Lord. To that extent, one no longer is agitated by material things. So when that process is complete and one can completely concentrate on the Supreme Lord, that is real samadhi. And then one attains the Lord. If one is fixed in complete meditation on the Supreme Lord, then one attains the Lord. If one is completely freed of material contamination, then one is qualified to meet the Supreme Lord. So the mind is useful. Of course, what happens is ultimately we give up the body. So we give up the gross body and we also give up the subtle body. That means we also give up the mind, intelligence, and ego, etc. So what happens? We end up with nothing? No. The spiritual functions, the Atma, take over. So we have a spiritual mind, a spiritual ego, spiritual intelligence. So they begin to function. And when we give up the material, gross and subtle bodies, then the spiritual body functions completely. And then again we think of the Supreme Lord and do activities for the Lord. So the process of bhakti is engaged the mind and the senses and the intelligence, etc. And as a result of that, our spiritual senses and mind develop. And then finally, by full concentration on the Lord, then we no longer need the material covering, the subtle body and all. And the spiritual mind functions on its own. So this is the process followed in bhakti. We can utilize the mind, even though it is material. And the process is not to stop the mind, but to engage it in thinking of the Supreme Lord. And by doing so, our spiritual mind develops. And eventually we can give up the material gross and subtle coverings completely. So that is the process recommended for controlling the mind. That is the process of bhakti. Well, yeah, mind control is not the process. The process is to serve Krishna. Now, thinking of Krishna is service to Krishna. So therefore, we want to do that service. Thinking of Krishna, talking about Krishna, doing service for Krishna, engagement for Krishna. That is our goal, is that. And therefore we engage in the different processes of bhakti. These are means, but they are also the end. The result is that we don't give these activities up. They continue in a perfect state, that's all. Well, that is material contamination. If you go to the spiritual world and Krishna offers his service, well, I don't want to do that today, then one is considered to be not qualified for the spiritual world. Of course, in the spiritual world, the nature of oneself is that one is eager to do anything for Krishna. One gives up one's life for Krishna. That is the attitude.
We can also find that though devotees keep doing some service physically, their mind is not here. It keeps wavering sometimes, thinking about their family near and dear. That doesn't mean that they are doing real service there. How do they control the mind?
How to control?
Externally
you
do the service, internally the mind is thinking about something.
Yeah, what's the question?
How to avoid those situations and the mind?
Well, as Krishna says, abhyasena bhavandeya, you have to practice. Nothing will happen by itself. So that's why we have practices. Daily we do certain things as part of our sadhana. So the mind has to keep repeatedly doing certain things. Now we can do the activity and still the mind can go somewhere else. Then of course this is a problem. Because the whole process of bhakti is not simply physical activity, but it's also engagement of the mind. Now of course even if we don't engage the mind, doing the activity itself for Krishna is also a type of service. If it is completely without any attitude of bhakti, then of course it's not even bhakti. but we hope that the person has an inclination, has developed some faith, so that faith itself makes that whole process fun. But if one can also think of the Supreme Lord at the same time, that is much more powerful. Oh, I think even spiritual authorities too. In other words, it doesn't mean the king or the political authority or whatever. That's not. Actually, the Nityasiddhas simply disappeared and they still perform the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. That's only apparent. He actually went back to Dwarka. He's there. But he's also in Vrindavan. We cannot see that. That's called apricot. Then he has to get some knowledge through scripture, then he can understand what the form of the Lord is. Therefore, we have scriptures like Bhagavatam, and they describe the form of the Lord. Otherwise, we cannot do it. Need knowledge.
That is translation. Lord Shiva being referred as a spiritual matter of master of the world. So it refers to the material world alone.
Well, he's a great devotee of the Lord. He's also a form of the Lord, and he also has an eternal body. So he's not exactly in the material world because he has his own loka also beyond the material world. So, of course, how we approach Shiva and we ask for is another thing. If we approach it for material things, then he's functioning as a devata. So, if we approach him as the devotee of the Supreme Lord, then of course, that is the Vaishnava way we approach him. Yeah. Well, of course, her relationship is eternal. Well, actually, she doesn't go beyond that. She did not ask for liberation.
श्री श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय
Yes. Sorry. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.